This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
The Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And Brian O'Halloran, probably delighted to be joining us on this particular morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I picked a great day to be here with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I have a quick question. If you had this interview scheduled or a colonoscopy, which would you choose to do?
that's a tough one. That's a push right there.
That's actually a no-brainer, colonoscopy all day long.
So, listen, based on the struggles of this team of late, is there any kind of a feeling in the front office that you may have missed an opportunity at the deadline to make this team better?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And what I would say is the bottom line, look, we had a tough couple days in New York and three tough losses, and we haven't played well lately. But we do have an opportunity in front of us. We're a game out of the wild card. Unfortunately, we're six games back of the division now, which is a tough sledding. But we're going to keep battling. But we do have an opportunity, with a month and a half left here, with what we think is a good team to have a chance to make the postseason. We got to actually go out and do it. It means nothing for me to talk about it. It's all about what happens on the field. But to answer your question, look, you always would like to do more. You would always, especially when you. Like you said, you have an opportunity. We're sitting there in first place. Our desire was to improve the team. We think we did improve the team, but I realize that hasn't really shown itself yet. So you always look back. Were there things we could have done better, done differently? But at the same time, we do feel we have a good enough team to, play well down the stretch, make the postseason, and hopefully do some damage in October.
Brian, a lot of people saying, if players are going to the front office and asking for certain needs for this team, why didn't they do it? But nobody's actually reporting that players do come to you guys and you guys actually have that conversation. Does that happen before the trade deadline? Do players tell you what they think the team needs?
I would say that's not particularly common. I wouldn't say that, it's never happened, almost 20 years that I've been here, but it's not, that's typically not a conversation. But of course, players are interested and the players put themselves in a good position by playing good baseball for 3 or 4 months. I think there's an expectation and there should be an expectation certainly here in Boston that, we're going to improve the team. If there are any holes, we're going to try to fill them. If there are any ways to improve the players, I'm sure I know are hopeful and expect that we're going to do everything we can to do that, which we do try to do. But as far as them coming to us, and that's not really typical.
Was there a feeling in the front office when it came to the first half of the season that this team had overachieved?
I wouldn't put it that way. I think, look, and I think we've talked about this before. Like we knew coming into the season that we had a good team, a competitive team. You know, it's a tough division. You know, I think the first, you know, half of the season probably went, you know, I would say like on the higher end of the range we could have expected. Things, you know, went well. I think the team really gelled together. I think in my mind made the biggest difference is not like something specific, some specific performance per se, but, you know, just the way the team gelled, the way the team believed in itself under Alex. And I think that, you know, Alex's impact, and certainly, you know, the stuff on the field, the fact that the rotation stayed healthy and kept us in games, you know, and all that. But I wouldn't say that we felt that it had, you know, sort of overachieved, but that it definitely was, you know, for the most part, clicking on all cylinders for the group that we had and put ourselves in a good spot.
Brian, how do you handle the approach in philosophy thinking when Heimblum has a specific way of doing things, and you've been around this organization before, and it seems like, you know, this team has no problem with making big time trades and going after guys that might only be rentals that can help them win a World Series. But Heim's approach is a little bit more keeping the farm system intact. What's the, you know, the approach when you're in that meeting room and maybe you guys differ in philosophy?
Well, let me answer that a couple of ways. I mean, first I would say that, you know, I would push back a little bit on the idea that this is like some big change and that Heim has some philosophy that he brought in that is like totally different from what we've done in the past. I mean, we, you know, having been here a long time, like every deadline is different, but we're, you know, when we're in the hunt, we're always trying to improve the team, but we're always, you know, keeping one eye on the present and one eye on the future as we have to do at all times in our jobs. And you know, the goal here is to maximize winning both in the short term and in the long term. Certainly when you're in first place at the deadline, that you got to take that seriously. You got to look to improve the team, and seize that opportunity. I think Heim has, you know, feels the same way, but I know Heim feels the same way about that as anyone else that's been here, including the folks that are still here, like myself. But to answer the second part of your question, what do you do when you disagree? Look, there's a big group of people in the room when we have these conversations about the trade deadline and any other, acquisitions, whether it's off season or in season. There's always disagreement. You want disagreement. There's, you know, you get everybody's perspective. You put it all together. Ultimately, you know, Heim's the chief decision maker here, but we all work together. And certainly he and I, as the, you know, as the folks that oversee the department, have to, you know, get ourselves on the same page. But honestly, that part's very easy. We got, you know, a lot of good people, and Heim's great to work with. And so anytime there's differences, I take that as a positive, and we kind of hash it out, figure out what's best, and move forward.
You talk about the challenges between figuring out what's best for the team right now versus the future. A lot of fans think that the mindset was for the future so that the players now feel like they were given up on. Are you concerned at all with how the players' mindset is right now with how they're playing?
No, I mean, I grew up here, so I'm sort of familiar with the how this is viewed, and I totally get it. I don't look at it, that way, that, you know, and that is not the way we went into this. We were looking to improve the team, to give ourselves the best chance to win this year while balancing future considerations as well, or just, you know, again, the goal here is to maximize winning. And that includes, you know, 2021, and that includes years beyond it. So we have to look at every opportunity, you know, to acquire players through that lens, and, you know, try to find ways to improve the team while you know, maintaining our long term goals in mind as well. As far as the attitude in the clubhouse, I think the attitude in the clubhouse it remains awesome. Like, this is a really good group of guys that is for the most part really gelled together. Look, it's been a tough. Certainly a tough couple of days and really a tough, month of August. I don't think that, I certainly don't attribute that to, someone or a group of players are unhappy with anything. I don't attribute it that way. I know that Alex has the group, you know, with the right mindset. It doesn't mean that we're playing great. We haven't been playing great. It doesn't mean that, you know, every at bat has been as focused as it could be, but and every, you know, every pitcher has performed to his absolute best. It's you know, we've gone through some struggles lately, and that's part of a long season. But again, we're sitting here on, you know, August 19th, a game out of the wild card, and the past is the past. What happened in New York these last couple of days, we have to learn from it and move on. We have, you know, a lot of games in front of us that we have a great opportunity to put ourselves in the postseason. That's what we need to focus on.
Hey, Brian, from the outside looking in, it appears that Tanner Houck's in an awkward situation. He comes up, gives you, you know, some good starts, and then he promptly gets sent back down to the minors. How's he handling that, and is that a service time issue, or is that just circumstances?
Yeah, not a service time issue at all. You know, look, Tanner's done a really good job, and he's been great. He's a team guy. He understands, you know, that, you know, just the way the sort of the roster has shaken out, the way that, you know, we had a lot of off days in here, you know, and we had, you know, seven guys, two of whom are now in the bullpen, but with Richards and Perez, but including Tanner and Chris, and the two guys that were in the rotation previously, that's seven guys with, you know, for five spots with a bunch of off days. And what made the most sense with the doubleheaders in the 27th man rule, what made the most sense was to, you know, be able to make use of the extra roster spot that way. Tanner's been awesome, totally understands it. And, you know, I expect that he'll be back here soon and, you know, and part of our rotation, you know, down the stretch.
Brian, you've been, as you alluded to, with the organization for 20 years. How has ownership's involvement with the trade deadline specifically evolved over time? I remember very clearly in 2004 there was a DVD with the World Series team showing John Henry coming into this conference room with beers saying, what do the Yankees do? All right, great. Like, we're looking good. It feels to me as though the Red Sox have become a part of John Henry's portfolio rather than his primary concern.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think this, my observation has been, it's been very similar over the years. And our owners have always been engaged in what's going on, but they've also always given us, the baseball operations group and baseball operations leadership, the ability to do our jobs. And they've been extremely supportive. Whether that's, you know, financially with you know, putting a lot of money into the team, that's obviously happened over that entire period, or just sort of moral support and you know, any discussions we have and you know, they ask questions, they want to understand things, but they've been nothing but supportive, honestly, the whole time I've been here. And I know that may, you know, there are different narratives out there, but you know, we have, Chaim and I have, you know, ongoing conversations, with John, and certainly Tom and Mike Gordon as well. And they're nothing but supportive. They're engaged in what's going on, with the Red Sox, and they care. There's a lot of communication, but they let us do our jobs and that hasn't changed.
If this team, which was in first place 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, does not make the playoffs, is that on the front office, on the manager, or on the players?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, hope that doesn't happen. But look, it's in the end, it's on us. It's on the front office. It's on the baseball operation. Like, whatever happens on the field, the results, good or bad. You know, part of how I answered the last question, like, we've been given the opportunity to do this job. We have nothing but support from ownership. We have no excuses. So, you know, that's on the, you know, the baseball operations leadership, myself included. And, you know, we, and that goes for both the short term and the long term. And we, you know, and again, it's a balance, but if we don't make the playoffs, we'll be very disappointed because we think we have a good team. We put ourselves in a position where we have a chance to make the postseason. And that's, you know, true right now. It was, you know, we were in a better spot at the deadline. I know we've talked a lot about the deadline, but we're still in a spot where we have a chance to do this. You know, our expectation is that we'll battle down the stretch and hopefully get there. But yeah, in the end, all the results are on us, are on the, you know, the baseball operations front office leadership.
All right, Brian. Well, thankfully, perhaps this is over for today.
All right, I'm going to go ahead to my colonoscopy.
But we'll talk to you again soon, and thanks for being on this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Brian O'Halloran.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.